sending him bodily backward to the ground. Before Steiger could fully face the other two, there was a flash of reflected light. Something glinted as it flew in front of Steiger's face. There was a meaty thwack. A dagger had taken one of his opponents squarely in the throat. Eyes impossibly wide, the man staggered like he was drunk, before falling to his knees and then toppling over. Steiger caught a glimpse of Ellie to his left and assumed it had been the elf's dagger, but there was no time to think on it. He focused his attention on the man before him. Steiger's opponent attacked, forcing him to block with his shield where the sword hammered home. The strike was communicated painfully to his arm behind the shield. Steiger jabbed out where he thought the other's leg was and felt the tip slide home, sinking in several inches. The Riven soldier collapsed to a knee, crying out. Steiger's next thrust silenced his voice evermore. Durgo had dispatched his man. In the process, he lost his sword, which had been ripped from his grasp as his opponent tumbled down the rampart. Screaming madly, Durgo jumped on the man Steiger had first knocked down as he was attempting to stand. He pummeled the man in the face, hitting him again and again until he slumped back to the ground. Steiger turned around, looking for the next threat, and saw Ellie engaged with the Riven soldier. The elf wielded two wicked-looking daggers that could almost have been described as short swords. Ellie's opponent did not stand a chance. The elf sidestepped and danced aside, avoiding a strike before landing one of his own, nearly decapitating the man. There was a shout from behind. Steiger turned and saw Tiro's bunch push forward, cutting down the last of the Riven facing them. They surged around him and descended upon those still pressing Triad's group. "That was a bold move, sir," Tiro said, coming up. The sergeant was breathing heavily as he looked over Steiger, who was also just as winded. "You saved the wall, sir." Steiger glanced down at the body of the enemy officer he had killed. "I got Kreef, but not before he killed Asus." "I saw the bastard come over the wall," Tiro said, and spat on the body. "I could not get at him. Shame about Asus. He was a good man." "Kreef should never have come back," Steiger said, as the fighting around them died down somewhat. He felt a sense of satisfaction. The breach had been contained. The Imperials still held the wall. "Great gods!" Tiro gasped, abruptly looking past Steiger. Steiger followed the sergeant's gaze to the east wall. The defenders had broken, with men throwing down their shields and running for their lives. The enemy was coming over the barricade at several points and in large numbers. He glanced around, gaze sweeping the western wall. With the breach contained, the enemy was still trying to overcome the defenders, but they were managing to hold. Steiger was surprised at how few defenders there were holding the wall. Bodies, both friend and foe, were seemingly everywhere. "Sir!" Knuckles bloody, Durgo pointed to the southern wall. The defenders were abandoning their positions as well, as were those to the north. "It's over, sir," Tiro breathed, and in his tone, Steiger heard defeat. Chapter 20. Steiger could not believe his eyes. With men running every which way, the scene before him was one of utter chaos. He was unsure what could be done.
"Whatever you plan on doing," Ellie said, coming up beside him, "I suggest you do it quickly."
Steiger glanced at Ellie.
"Unless it is giving up, of course," Ellie said with a sour expression. "I don't much care for that. You aren't the kind of man to surrender, are you?"
The elf's words were offensive and stung. His anger flared. Then it hit him. Ellie's words had been intentionally barbed. No, he would not give in. Steiger knew what he had to do.
"It's not over," Steiger growled at Ellie and started moving down the rampart. "On me! Form on me!"
Steiger waved his sword in the air and shouted for all he was worth.
"Form on me! Hurry now!"
Tiro shoved men towards Steiger while also taking up the call.
"Form on the lieutenant!"
Steiger picked up a shield as men from across the wall began to rally to him, at first coming in ones and twos, and then a steady stream. Steiger glanced back at the wall where Asus's body lay, along with so many others. For just a moment, they had succeeded in holding the wall. But that small victory, purchased at such a high price, had been fleeting. Unhindered,
The enemy were now freely climbing over the barricade. "Form up!" Steiger roared as a few auxiliaries ran for the safety of the keep. One of the fugitives was Lieutenant Tried. He shot Steiger a guilt-filled look, but continued on.
"Tiro, I want two ranks," Steiger ordered.
"You heard the lieutenant,"
Tiro shouted. "Two ranks, quickly!"
Steiger estimated that he had at least 30 men in his scratch formation. The enemy, having gained the wall, was thoroughly disorganized. He figured they would not likely challenge an organized formation, which was what he had just created. At least they wouldn't until an officer or sergeant imposed some semblance of control. With the defense of the fort having collapsed, Steiger suspected the enemy's first impulse would be to loot. His thinking was rapidly confirmed. Steiger was sickened, but also at the same time relieved, to see the Riven soldiers who had made it over the barricade behind him begin looting the dead. It bought him the time he needed to act. Steiger swept his gaze around the fort. Everywhere he looked, there was the enemy. They were looting, wildly running down the last few isolated auxiliaries, or locked in individual combat. One of the barracks to the left had caught fire and begun to burn fiercely. Yet amidst the chaos, Steiger's formation was a sea of ordered calm as the last men stepped into place. Steiger glanced over at the keep. He saw Merritt, along with a handful, standing before the entrance, struggling against the mob of the enemy. Steiger spotted Varys in the mix. Lieutenant Tried was almost to them when he was attacked from behind and brutally cut down. He had never seen his attacker, who set about looting the lieutenant's body. Steiger felt a mix of disgust and sadness. Had Tried's courage not fled, he would yet live.
"Your orders, sir."
Tiro sounded nervous. That unsettled Steiger more than a little. He had never known Tiro to be anything but steady.
"We're going to advance in good order to the keep,"
Steiger shouted at the mixed bag of auxiliaries and the handful of legionaries he had formed up. Steiger pointed with his sword.
"The keep is safety, and that is where we're going. We're going to murder the bastards. We're going to kill each and every one we come across until we get to the keep. What are we going to do?"
"Kill!"
the handful of Steiger's legionaries in the scratch formation shouted. Without the auxiliaries adding their voices, it sounded pitiful.
"I can't hear you."
"Kill!"
they shouted in unison, the auxiliaries joining in.
"Kill! Kill! Kill!"
"That's bloody better,"
Steiger roared at them.
"Advance!"
The formation started forward.
"Tiro," Steiger said,
"pull a couple of men to watch the formation's back. I don't want any of the enemy coming up on us from behind."
"Aye, sir,"
Tiro said, as Steiger turned his attention back to the advance across the parade ground. Holding his shield forward, Steiger joined the end of the line, Ellie at his side. Merritt and the handful of fighters before the keep were hard-pressed. An enemy sergeant had appeared, leading an organized section of men against the defenders. The prefect was doing his best to hold the way open for as long as possible, but that window was fast closing. Wounded were streaming in ones and twos through the keep's door. Steiger caught a glimpse of a limping Hollocks being helped into the keep. Pazula was assisting his lieutenant. Steiger saw Merritt glance his way and wave with his sword before turning back to his defense. Steiger considered ordering the formation to advance at the double, but decided against it. Had he been leading only his men from the 7th, he could have trusted them to remain organized, but the majority of his formation was made up of auxiliaries Steiger did not know, so he kept the pace what it was, slow and steady. The distance closed, 30 yards, 20, 10. With each step, there seemed fewer and fewer defenders before the keep. Merritt and his men were in trouble. Then the prefect went down, stabbed clean through the leg. Varys stepped forward and stopped the killing blow with his sword before deftly kicking the blade around and jabbing the tip of his weapon into his opponent's arm. Unseen, a Riven soldier punched his sword into Varys' side. The corporal shuddered from the force of the blow and then turned to face his attacker and stabbed back, taking the man in the throat.
"What are we going to do?"
Steiger roared to his men.
"Kill! Kill! Kill!"
The shout drowned out the fighting. Those pressing the handful of defenders, just steps away, turned in surprise at the formation's approach. Then Steiger's front rank made contact, hammering away with shields and jabbing with swords.
2 inches of steel is all you need," Tiro called. "Just like you do with the whores. Give 'em love with your 2 inches, boys."
Steiger's line smashed into the enemy, cutting down 6 or 7, including the sergeant, before the rest turned and broke, running for their lives.
Hold! Steiger called. Stay in line there!
Exhausted and nearly spent, the men didn't need much encouragement, and responded.
Dress yourself on your neighbor!
Tiro roared.
Straighten out that line, or so help me I will put you on a charge!
The formation quickly became ordered.
Wheel right!
Steiger brought his formation around and stopped it, with the shield wall facing outward and their backs to the door of the keep.
Tiro!
Steiger turned to him. Use the second rank. Get what wounded you can into the keep. Hurry!
Yes, sir, Tiro said.
Steiger scanned around the parade ground. The enemy had completely overrun the fort, but they were still terribly disorganized. Looting was clearly more important than overcoming the last of the defenders. The Riven soldiers wanted nothing to do with the organized formation standing before the keep. They gave Steiger and his men a wide berth while they searched for plunder. Satisfied they were out of immediate danger, Steiger went in search of the prefect. He found him lying on the ground, an auxiliary at his side. The prefect's cloak had been used as a tourniquet on his leg.
Nice move, Steiger.
Sweat beaded on Merritt's brow.
Get the men to the keep, will you?
I will, sir.
Don't give up the keep, Merritt said. I may shortly pass out. Hold unto the last. We hold out for as long as possible. I will not end up a prisoner again. Understand me?
Yes, sir, Steiger said, and then with the auxiliary's assistance, helped the prefect up and onto his feet.
Supported by his man, Merritt made his way through the door and into the keep. Steiger was about to order the men inside when he spied Varys lying on the ground a few feet from where the prefect had been. Tira was at the corporal's side. He looked up, grief etched upon his face as Steiger approached. The sergeant puffed out his cheeks and slowly shook his head. Steiger stood there in shock, looking down on the corporal's body. There was a deep gash high on Varys's left thigh. Blood stained the ground around him.
Sir!
Tiro stood. He gripped Steiger's shoulder and shook him.
Sir! It is time we bring the boys into the keep.
But Varys!
Steiger said. He did not want to leave the corporal behind. He could not.
He is dead, sir.
Tiro's voice was gruff and filled with raw emotion.
It is time to look after the living.
Steiger pulled his gaze from Varys to his formation.
Get the men inside.
Tiro snapped out an order as Steiger turned his back to Varys. The men quickly made their way into the keep, leaving Steiger and Tiro alone.
Come on, sir. Varys would want us to live.
Tiro took hold of Steiger's arm and guided him into the keep. Several men slammed the door closed and dropped its heavy locking bar in place once they were inside. Steiger saw Nera tending to a wounded man. She looked up and scanned the room, clearly looking for Varys. When she could not find him, her eyes fell on Tiro. The old veteran held her gaze and then looked uncomfortably away. Shoulders shaking, she covered her face with a bloody rag and sank down onto the floor.
We need to brace the door, Pizzullo said.
The sergeant's armor was covered with blood, and judging from the cuts on his face and arm, some of it was even his own.
They are bound to try to force it.
Steiger gave a nod and glanced around the crowded, makeshift hospital ward. Everyone, including the wounded, was looking in his direction. Horlocks, with a pasty pallor, sat in a corner holding his leg with his hand. Blood bubbled up from between his fingers. Lieutenant Tevis was also there. He too had been wounded and looked to be unconscious. Steiger's eyes fell upon Lears for a moment, who glared back while cradling his broken arm. Prefect Merritt was nowhere to be seen. Steiger figured he had been carried upstairs. Not counting any of the walking wounded, Steiger had perhaps 30 men, 12 of whom were from his company. It shocked him that was all he had left. At the same time, it reignited his anger.
Right,
Steiger said, thinking fast and pushing his grief for Varys aside. The men needed his strength.
This is what we are going to do.
I want the wounded moved upstairs. Break up the tables and chairs to help brace the door. Any man who can carry a sword and shield is to remain here. Pizzullo and Tiro, find anything that is heavy. Select 6 men and have them start hauling whatever they find up to the roof. When the enemy tries to force the door, We can give them a nice surprise. Also, see if there's any lamp oil. We can throw it over and ignite it.
Steiger sucked in a breath.
The third is on her way, boys. We need to hold for as long as possible.
He swept his gaze around the room.
It wasn't much, but he had given them a little hope.
Now, it won't take the bastards long to get organized, so we need to hurry. Are there any questions?
There were none.
Get to it.
The men set to work. Steiger made his way up the stairs for the roof and found Ellie already up there.
Steiger looked to the south. There was still no sign of the third, only the column of smoke rising from the town.
The elf was looking to the north.
They're getting ready to march.
Ellie pointed.
Steiger joined Ellie and studied the enemy's encampment. Tents were being broken down. Several companies had already formed up.
Steiger even saw the enemy's supply train being readied, with horses and mules being hitched to wagons.
The enemy's general must not like wasting time, Steiger said.
They are marching even before they've taken the entire fort.
I guess with all that we have left, they don't need much.
A horn sounded in the distance. The call repeated itself.
Steiger felt himself frown.
It sounded like a recall. There were a number of shouts from below, out in the fort. Though Steiger could not understand the Riven tongue, they sounded like orders being called by officers and sergeants.
The horn call sounded again. It was taken up by others nearer.
The enemy began moving toward the walls.
Steiger could not believe his eyes as they started climbing back over the barricade and descending the ladders, first in ones and twos, and then lining up in large groups, waiting their turn.
"What's going on?" Steiger asked, confused.
"They're leaving,"
Ellie said plainly.
"Steiger, is that you up there?"
Steiger glanced off to the north wall and saw an enemy officer standing next to a ladder with men lined up and climbing back over.
It was Golves.
"Do you have any arrows left?" Steiger said.
"No,"
Ellie said with regret. "I've used them all."
"That's a shame," Steiger said before shouting back.
"What do you want?"
"I thought that was you," Golves replied. "You're a hard man to kill. I am so pleased to learn you survived."
"Kreef didn't," Steiger said.
"His father gave him the chance to redeem his honor by storming the walls," Golves called back, and then gave a shrug. "I never much liked him anyway."
Steiger actually chuckled.
"Where are you going?"
Steiger called back at him when the last man in line climbed over.
Golves shook his finger at Steiger.
"If I told you that, it might spoil the surprise."
He clambered onto the ladder. He stopped at the top before climbing down over the other side.
"I hope we shall meet again. I found you a worthy and honorable opponent."
Golves started down the ladder and was lost from sight.
"What's going on?"
Tiro asked, coming up behind them.
"They're leaving," Steiger said, elated and at a loss as to why.
"But where's the third?"
Tiro looked to the south.
"I don't know," Steiger admitted.
"I bet they do,"
Ellie said, gesturing out at the enemy encampment.
Steiger had to agree with the elf.
They continued to watch as the first enemy companies to march stepped onto the road and turned north, climbing the hill toward the forest.
Company after company followed, until a few hours later, none remained behind, leaving only the remnants of the enemy camp.
Below them, the enemy had also left behind their dead and injured.
"I guess this means we held the fort,"
Tira finally said, breaking the long silence.
Dusk had begun to fall.
"We did," Steiger said, somewhat numbly, thinking on Varus, Asus, Urbis, and so many others.
"Sir," Tira said, "permission to go out and find our wounded?"
Feeling thoroughly worn out, Steiger gave a weary nod.
Epilogue.
"This is awful," Steiger said, coughing. "It's really bad."
Tiro took the pipe back from Steiger and sucked in deeply. He let out a long stream of smoke and gave a contented sigh.
"That's right good stuff, sir," Tiro said. "Good old Eastern tobacco, that is."
"How can you enjoy that?"
Steiger continued to cough, thoroughly mystified.
"It burns,
Why would anyone want to smoke that?
It takes a little getting used to, is all, Tiro said. But trust me, sir, there's nothing better to help you relax after a good day.
Tiro and Steiger were sitting on a couple of stools outside one of the barracks. A third stool lay off to the side. Pazulo had left them a few minutes before. It was the day after the enemy's attempt on the fort, and dusk was fast approaching. There had still been no word or sign of the third. Steiger had put his men who could walk to gather up the dead. He had worked alongside them all throughout the day. There were 32 ambulatory men in the whole of the fort. Of these, only 13 were from his company. Another 5 had survived from the 7th, but these men had been severely injured. They would be lucky to return to service. These unfortunates would end up discharged, living on the dole back in the capital and whatever they had accumulated in their pensions. The company was no more than a shell of what she had been just weeks before. The heart of the 7th had been thoroughly ripped out. The loss of so many hurt, almost as if it were a physical wound. Steiger understood the company he had come to love would never be the same. He wasn't even sure if he would ever be the same. So many good men had perished here that Steiger felt a part of him would forever remain in this place. As he gazed around the parade ground, he was confident Fort Covenant would haunt his dreams for years to come.
"How do you get used to it?" Steiger looked at Tiro.
"Well, sir," Tiro said, "you just smoke some more and keep on smoking. You kind of get used to it."
"That's not what I meant," Steiger said, turning his gaze to the ground.
Tiro went silent a moment.
"You never do."
"That's what I was afraid of," Steiger said.
Tiro handed the pipe back to Steiger, who was hesitant to take another puff. He gave in and sucked in a deep breath, almost immediately breaking into an uncontrollable fit of coughing.
"Just a little," Tiro said with a laugh. "At first, you only want to pull in a little. Then, when you're more used to it, you take a bit more."
Steiger cast a doubtful glance at his sergeant and was about to reply when a shout rang out.
"Riders approaching, sir!"
a sentry called from the top of the keep.
"To the east!"
Steiger sprang up from his stool, placed the pipe upon it, and started for the eastern wall. Tiro followed a few steps behind. They climbed the rampart and up to the barricade. When they got there, they could see a troop of cavalry riding for the fort, perhaps 300 yards off. It took Steiger a moment to identify them as legionary cavalry.
"They are ours," Steiger said to Tiro.
"Better for us, then," Tiro said. "I'd hate to have to hold this fort again. A stiff wind would overwhelm us," Steiger said.
"Perhaps even a gentle breeze, sir," Tiro said.
"Open the gate," Steiger called, and moved over to the platform above the gatehouse to wait for the new arrivals.
Though Steiger had the men busy throughout the day, working to organize the dead for funeral pyres, the truth was there were simply too many corpses. They hadn't even begun to start on those of the enemy outside the fort. Heck, it had taken half a day alone just to shovel the mound of dirt away from the gate that Merritt had ordered thrown up. The troop rode up to the outer trench and dismounted. Steiger recognized Carbo, but also saw Colonel Artius. The colonel surveyed the grisly scene before the fort's main gate. The enemy's ram, the bodies, the flocks of birds feasting on the dead. After a few moments, he and Carbo dismounted, handed their reins over, and carefully made their way across the enemy's makeshift bridges. Steiger met the colonel down at the gate. He offered a salute, which the colonel returned. There was a hard look to Artis's eyes as he gazed around the interior of the fort.
"Good to see that you made it," the colonel finally said. "It looks like things were somewhat involved here, eh?"
"Yes, sir, just a little," Steiger said. "A lot of good boys were lost holding the fort, and had the enemy not left when they did, we all would have died."
"Did Prefect Merritt survive?"
"Yes, sir, he did," Steiger said. "The prefect was wounded. The surgeon feels that he will recover as long as infection does not set in."
"Well," Artius said, "that's a good thing. We need more men like him."
"He's a fighter, sir," Steiger said.
"What about Tribune Declan?" Artius asked. "I understand he remained after he was relieved."
"He went down fighting, sir," Steiger said.
"No more can be asked of a gentleman," Artius said, "even one in disgrace."
Steiger did not reply to that.
"I would see the prefect
Artius said, and hear his report.
Sergeant, Steiger said, would you escort the colonel?
This way, sir,
Tiro said, and left Carbo with Steiger.
Carbo silently surveyed the neatly stacked bodies within the fort. Steiger had ordered that the enemy be separated from their own. He glanced back over at Steiger.
It appears that you held on only by the skin of your teeth, Carbo said.
Steiger simply nodded, but did not trust himself to say anything.
You did a good thing here, Carbo said, patting Steiger on the shoulder. It made all the difference.
What do you mean?
Around 20 miles from Fort Covenant, the general made a hard decision, Carbo admitted. He took the opportunity to maneuver around and get behind the enemy instead of coming straight here.
That explains why we weren't relieved, Steiger said, feeling somewhat betrayed by a man he respected.
We were left here to die, then.
Oh, no, Carbo said. The general used Fort Covenant as a diversion. By holding and forcing the enemy to attack, you fixed their attention. It allowed the general to take much of his infantry and swing around behind the enemy, a few miles south of Kor Atoll. There was this old road that was on none of the maps. Our enemy didn't even know. It was no more than a path, really, and mostly overgrown. But it was enough.
Can you believe it? A local farmer told the general of it, and he took the man at his word. It was a brilliant move, and forced the enemy to react.
Well, Steiger said, still feeling wretched.
I guess it worked. The enemy pulled out something quick.
There was a battle yesterday, in the forest a few miles to the north of here. The general chose good ground around Fort Ida and dug in. The enemy couldn't even deploy their entire army as they came up to our lines. With the trees and us sitting right smack across the road, there just wasn't enough room. Still, they came on confident-like and determined. There was some hard fighting and a few desperate moments.
Carbo sucked in a breath. But in the end, we gave them a real drubbing before they called it quits.
Carbo slapped his thigh. Several thousand prisoners were taken, mostly camp followers and such. Unfortunately, much of their infantry escaped into the forest.
Carbo smiled, and then chuckled.
They abandoned their baggage and supply train. I bet there will be more than a few hungry bellies tonight.
Steiger thought about what Carbo had said. He had been so sure that the Third was coming to their relief, it was a shock to learn that the general had had other plans.
Steiger had unwittingly played his part and contributed to the victory, but that made him still feel somewhat unhappy. He had brought his men to this place and spent their lives in what he had thought was the right thing to do. In a way, the general had done the same. It was certainly something to think on.
Without your warning, Carbo continued, we would never have known until it was too late that the enemy was flanking the legions. You made this all possible.
Steiger glanced down to his new boots. He had taken them from Lieutenant Creef. They were made of good quality material and surprisingly fit quite well. He had also stripped Declan's fine cloak from the Tribune's corpse. Neither man now needed them. Steiger's meager funds would not take the hit he had thought they would.
He looked back up at Carbo and felt a lightening of his mood.
Do you smoke?
I do, Carbo admitted.
I hope you have some tobacco, for we're so far from civilization that sadly I've long since run out.
The thing is, Steiger said, we liberated a bag of what Tiro calls really good stuff.
Steiger and Carbo stood as the colonel walked up to them.
Carbo held the pipe.
They had been sitting for some time while the colonel spoke with the prefect. Nightfall was coming on quickly.
Artis waved the two of them back down.
The colonel pulled up the third stool and motioned for Carbo to hand over the pipe.
Artis took a long pull and exhaled a stream of smoke.
This is quite good.
I wonder, have you been holding out on us? Artis asked Steiger and gestured at the bag of tobacco by his feet.
No, sir, Steiger said. Compliments of our enemy, I'm afraid.
We liberated it after destroying an enemy company in the Kor Atoll Valley.
You took out an entire company with 80-some men?
Colonel Artis raised an eyebrow and took another pull on the pipe.
I did, sir, Steiger said.
I don't have time now, Artis said. But when you return to the Legion, I want to hear your report on everything that's happened.
Yes, sir, Steiger said.
Our enemy has good taste, Artis said, taking another pull before handing the pipe back to Carbo.
As I am new to smoking, Steiger said, I will take your word for it.
Prefect Merritt thinks highly of you, Artius said. He told me you're a fine officer.
But I already knew that, Captain, didn't I?
Steiger felt uncomfortable with the praise, but then what the colonel said registered.
Captain?
Sir, I'm a lieutenant, acting captain only.
No, you're now a captain, and it's well-deserved, Artius said, leaning forward and offering his hand.
The colonel grinned.
Congratulations, Captain Steiger. Still a little shocked, Steiger took the colonel's hand and shook.
Thank you, sir.
I'm giving you the 12th, Artius said. They lost their commanding officer in the action this morning.
What of the 7th? Steiger asked, suddenly alarmed.
I don't want to lose them, sir.
There's not much left of your company, is there?
Artius asked plainly.
No, sir, Steiger said. I've got 13 effectives, not to mention the 2 that I sent to the 3rd with word of the enemy's intentions.
Your company is essentially ineffective, Artius said.
It will be disbanded until such time as the Legion receives fresh recruits. Your men will be broken up and sent to other companies as replacements. We have a great need for them right now.
Sir, Steiger said, I don't want to see the 7th broken up.
The colonel frowned.
Steiger, there are not enough men available to bring the 7th back up to strength, or anywhere even close to it. The 12th is in need of a new commanding officer, and you are it. I can't think of a better man for the job.
I'd like to request that the 7th remain active, sir, Steiger said. I've become attached to my men and the company, sir.
Artis held Steiger's gaze for a long moment.
Steiger knew he was going to refuse his request, but then the colonel gave a shrug and stood. Carbo and Steiger got to their feet also.
Very well, Artis said. After this, I think you and your boys have more than earned it. I will see that you get a few men to fill out your ranks, so that the 7th is the equivalent of a light company. I should think that's sufficient.
Thank you, sir, Steiger said, elated that he could keep his company, his home.
More important, he would have the chance to rebuild her.
With the ranger attached to your command, Artius said, I am sure that we will find work for you and your boys.
Ranger? What ranger?
The elf, Artius said. Seems you impressed him, Captain. That is not an easy thing to do. He requested permission to join your company as an official volunteer from the Elven Nations. Since the elves have wanted no part of the Empire for some time, I have, of course, accepted his offer of service. Make sure that no harm comes to him, will you?
Steiger did not know what to say to that.
An auxiliary cohort is being dispatched to man this fort, Artius continued. They will arrive sometime tomorrow morning.
Artius paused and glanced at the dead.
See to your fallen. I expect you to march sometime tomorrow. Meet the Legion in the Korotol Valley. I will see you there in 2 days' time.
Yes, sir, Steiger said. I will be there, sir.
Artis motioned for Carbo to join him and started to turn away.
Sir, one more request, please, Steiger asked.
Captain, Artis said, I think perhaps you've pushed your luck a bit, don't you?
If I'm to command my company, Steiger said, I need an executive officer.
We will find you one, Artis assured him.
There's one available, sir, Steiger said. I know he's injured, but I would like to request Lieutenant Hollocks for my 2nd.
I met Hollocks when I spoke to the prefect, Artis said. An auxiliary and an older man to boot. Why would you want someone like that?
I've come to know him, sir. I believe he has the makings of a fine officer, Steiger said. He's just never gotten a fair shake.
Very well. He is your headache, Artis said.
Oh, and take as many of the auxiliaries that are left from Prefect Merritt's command that you like.
You see, I've already spoken to the prefect about that. I knew you would want to remain with the 7th, Steiger. Kindly see that you are at Korotol in 2 days, will you?
I will be there, sir, Steiger said, with a growing smile that the colonel matched.
With that, the colonel strode off for the gate.
Carbo delayed a moment.
Congratulations. Carbo offered his hand, which Steiger took.
See you in Korotol, old man. Make sure you bring some of that good tobacco.
Carbo hurried after the colonel, leaving Steiger alone. He sat down on the stool and took a small puff from the pipe. It didn't burn as much as it had a while before, but he was careful how much he sucked in. He sat there for a time, reflecting upon the battle and his promotion. Ellie strode from the keep and over to him. The elf sat down on a stool and kicked his feet up on the one the colonel had used. Ellie seemed rather pleased with himself. Steiger offered his pipe to Ellie, who shook his head.
That stuff will kill you, you know.
Why do you want to stay with me? Steiger asked, getting right to the point.
I miss Tiro's company.
Seriously? Ellie let out a sigh.
It's fairly obvious.
The elf fell silent, his unblinking eyes resting heavily upon Steiger. Are you planning on telling me? Steiger leaned forward on his stool, returning the elf's gaze with a flinty one of his own. Because it's not that obvious to me. What game are you playing at?
There's no game, Ellie said. I am simply here as a volunteer. However, it has come to my attention that interesting things seem to happen around you. I like interesting. It makes life fun.
Is that so? Steiger wasn't buying it. He leaned back, contemplating the elf, and took another small pull and puff on his pipe.
If you'd lived all the years that I have, Ellie said with a mischievous grin, then I think you'd understand why interesting is so important.
Steiger chuckled. An elven ranger wanted to tag along with him. It was an offer that he would be foolish to decline. Even if he did, he wasn't sure that the colonel would allow him to do so, especially considering the state of relations with the elven nations.
Whatever the reason, Steiger said with a sigh of surrender, I know Tiro will be happy you're coming with us. And truth be told, my company's a little light at the moment.
Ellie seemed pleased with that response. For a while, neither said anything, just watched as the shadows of night began to spread across the fort.
I believe you wanted to know why this place was called Fort Covenant, Ellie asked. It was here, many long years past, where your empire and my people formed our covenant, the alliance between our nations and yours.
Steiger had not known that.
Elves and men once served alongside each other for a higher purpose, Ellie continued. That higher purpose has been forgotten by your people.
Worse, in recent years our alliance has known some difficulty.
Ellie paused to shoo away a fly. In a way, I think it fitting that I join your company in this hallowed place, even if I had to spring you from jail just to do it.
Steiger took another pull on the pipe, and this time didn't notice the burn. They fell into another long silence.
Well, said Steiger, looking at the elf after a time, Tiro thinks we both attract trouble, so I'm sure things are going to be interesting.
You have been listening to Fort Covenant, Tales of the Seventh, Book 2, produced by Greg Lawrence, Associate Producer Emily Durr. Text copyright 2017 by Mark Edelheit. Production copyright 2018 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved. If you enjoyed this audiobook, find more just like it by visiting audfans.com, the premier audiobook discovery service that brings tailored recommendations direct to your email. That's audfans.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.